It's Central Time. I'm Rob Ferret. You're with us here on the Ideas Network. Coming up, it's Food Friday. A cookbook author and food blogger helps us get ready for the school year with some easy back-to-school dinners. First, when was the last time you had to get new wireless headphones? You might carry a cell phone around with you. How long ago did you replace that? Chances are they probably lasted for a couple few years, maybe five at best. Our next guest says that's because that's how a lot of them are designed to work. He's looked into the hidden death dates in the electronics we use all the time and why it can be hard or impossible to make those products last longer, even if you want to. You can join in at 800-642-1234. Do you feel like your technology devices, your gadgets don't last as long as they should? Were you surprised when the battery stopped accepting a charge like it used to could? Do you think they should be built to last longer or make it easier or even possible to replace those batteries? Call in at 800-642-1234. That's 800-642-1234. You can also post on the Ideas Network Facebook page if you have a device with power to do that. Jeffrey Fowler is the Washington Post technology columnist. Jeffrey, welcome back to Central Time.
Hello, hello.
What made you want to look under the hood on so many of these gadgets and figure out what was going on? They're incept dates, as they say in Blade Runner.
Indeed. So like millions of other Americans, I have a pair of Apple AirPods. And one day they started doing this thing where they went, anybody with AirPods knows the moment. That means that they're running out of power. And I noticed that it would, you know, it used to be that it would take, I don't know, a couple hours of using them to get to that moment. But, you know, at a certain point, I could just put them in my ears for like 15 minutes and I'd get to the doo-doo-doo. And that meant the battery was dying. So I said, okay, fine. My office is near an Apple store. I walked to the Apple store. I said, hi, I'd like to replace the batteries in these. They were only about 2 years old. And the Apple store said, sorry, we can't help you. We can't replace the batteries in these either, but we can sell you some new AirPods.
Aha.
And I said, I see how this works. It turns out that AirPods are not the only product that millions of Americans use that were designed to essentially become trash over time. And as a consumer advocate, as a columnist for the Washington Post, that makes me kind of annoyed. That kind of makes me mad. It's bad for our wallets. And you know what? It's also, it turns out, really bad for the environment.
Now, there's two key things going on here. Now, a rechargeable battery, it is over time going to lose its rechargeability.
Yes.
But I'm not technically proficient. I have successfully changed batteries in many products in my lifetime. These products you write, and many of them are designed so it's almost impossible to change a battery yourself.
Yes, exactly right. So look, it is the nature of the laws of physics that these lithium batteries that are rechargeable only can be recharged a certain number of times. That's known as the cycle count. And they're all born with a cycle count. And after you burn through it, they just aren't good anymore. What isn't up to the law of physics is what happens to these devices after the batteries wear out. They could be designed so that you pop open the back, put in a new one, and go on about your merry way. The problem is the electronics industry has, for the last 10, 15 years, been increasingly sealing these batteries inside products. In the case of those AirPods, the little tiny batteries in them are literally glued in to the sticks at the end. I mean, I actually, because I'm kind of crazy and it's my job to be a little crazy, I actually tried to open them up. I got like the world's tiniest little scalpel, like I was doing brain surgery, and tried to get the battery out. And it was insane. There was no way anybody was ever going to get those out because they were stuck in there with so much glue. And my question is, why are they designing these products this way? That's essentially forcing us to keep upgrading.
Now, you reached out to a bunch of companies and you looked at a lot of their products. You didn't hear back from a lot of them. Did anybody offer a justification that says, yeah, we need to glue these batteries in because what?
Yeah. I mean, so yes, I took a good 14 or so of the gadgets that I own with batteries, and I tried to figure out what is the death date in each of them. And to do that, I tried to get that cycle count number and then ask them, you know, hey, how can I replace the battery when this is done? As you said, many of them did not either answer my questions or gave me kind of like word salad answers instead of real answers. Some of them tried to defend the practice. And the most common defense I heard was, oh, well, these have to be sealed inside so they can operate in wet environments. Heard that from Philips, the electronic toothbrush, the Sonicare maker. Or that, you know, our devices are so tiny that they, you know, that this is the only way to put them in. But you know what? Pardon the pun here, but that argument does not hold water. And I'll give you an example of how it doesn't. One of the most popular makers of cameras in the world is called GoPro. They make those little action cameras that you see like surfers use. Well, guess what? They're used by surfers, so they can literally go for a swim. And yet every one of them has a battery that can be popped open. You can take it out, stick in a new one, and go on about your merry business. And so it is possible to design devices so that we can take the batteries out. It's just more trouble. And it just means that they have to maybe be a millimeter thicker. And the electronics industry just has not had the incentives to do that for us.
We're talking to Jeffrey Fowler, Washington Post technology columnist, looking at death dates for a lot of our electronic gadgets, a lot of things that are scheduled to become obsolete because their batteries are going to die and they're designed so you can't replace the battery. He tested a whole bunch of different ones. You could join in at 800-642-1234. Do you have a gadget that isn't recharging anymore? Do you wish you could replace the battery? Do you have questions for our guest about his research? Call 800-642-1234 or post on the Ideas Network Facebook page. Melissa is with us now in Dubuque. Melissa, hi.
Hi, thanks for taking my call. So I have one that it's not battery related. It was an update that forced my tablet to just stop working properly. And it was like forced through. So
how old was the, it was a tablet you said? How old was it?
Yeah, it was maybe 2 years old. So it wasn't that old. I took good care of it. It had a case. I don't remember ever dropping it. So, and it was just that one update that got forced through one night. The next day, it did not work right. The keyboard wouldn't open up. Apps weren't running properly. And so I pretty much just had to replace it.
Melissa, thanks for the call. I feel like I've encountered this over the years. This is a different problem. Jeffrey, have you seen this kind of thing?
Yeah, I'd be really curious to know from Melissa what the brand was of that tablet.
Are you still there, Melissa?
Yeah. Can I say it on?
You can. Sure.
It was a Google Nexus.
Okay. Google Nexus.
Yeah, very interesting. So look, software updates are another way that that companies try to force obsolescence onto these products. Now, some of it is necessary. They're constantly discovering new security bugs and problems with devices. And so it is, you know, good for everybody to, when they offer a software update, to take it. The problem is, how long do they continue to support older devices? And Google's Android devices have been a little notorious on this front for not supporting older hardware. 2 years is a really short window. Mm-hmm. Normally we're talking more like three or four or even five. So another thing that we the users ought to demand from these companies is that they continue to provide a software update and security patch support for these products for at least 5, maybe is it too much to ask for 10 years? Come on, guys.
Melissa, thanks for that call at 800-642-1234. Now, you, as you mentioned, tested a bunch of different items, got to their long-term recharge life. Were there particularly egregious ones, you thought, Jeffrey, ones that you were particularly offended by their lifespan and unreplaceability of their batteries?
Yeah, you know what? I went around and around in circles with Philips, the Sonicare toothbrush maker. So here's a product that, like, more Americans have electric toothbrushes than have iPhones. So these things are really common, but it is pretty hard to find ones that are, you know, these big brand names like the Sonicare that don't have this battery completely sealed inside. And I asked, Philips, okay, what can these things take? And they said, oh, about 200 or 300. I was like, that's a very small number of times you can recharge it. And they said, oh, well, you know, it'll last up to 12 years if you only charge it once every 3 weeks. But who does that? I mean, most people I know, maybe I'm strange, but most people put the thing back in the charger every night. And so, you know, I've not had a Philips Sonicare toothbrush that's lasted me more than a couple of years ever. So I just think that they, you know, and it's particularly ironic coming from Philips. You know, they're a European company, and Europeans take their environmental commitments much more seriously in general than American companies do. But here's a company that, you know, has been, you know, making these sealed in batteries for years. I'll give you an example of how silly the design of the Sonicare is. So it's very dangerous to throw away a product, put in the trash, a product with a lithium battery in it, because it can explode if it gets punctured or bent or something. So they actually had to include instructions with the Sonicare that if you ever want to recycle or throw away your Sonicare toothbrush, officially, you're supposed to take a hammer to the back of it and then put it in a vise and try to yank out this battery, which has been soldered inside with metal. It's just absolutely insane. Why would you design a product that's supposed to be used by hundreds of millions of people that way? It makes no sense.
We're talking to Jeffrey Fowler, technology columnist at the Washington Post, about his Gadget Graveyard, a project looking at how long many of our electronic devices last, why it's hard to make them last longer. You can join in at 800-642-1234. Have you felt money like you wasted money having to replace a whole thing when you should have been able just to replace the battery? Have you tried to extend the life of a cell phone or tablet or electronic toothbrush or you name it when it gets old instead of getting that new one? Call 800-642-1234. Should we have more access to repair these things too? 800-642-1234 is the number to call. We'll continue the conversation, maybe hear from you coming up on Central Time. This is Central Time. I'm Rob Ferret. We're picking up our conversation about the hidden death dates in our cell phones, laptops, our electric toothbrushes. Jeffrey Fowler has been looking into this. He's the Washington Post technology columnist, and you can join in with a gadget story at 800-642-1234. Have you been frustrated by having to replace a gadget of some sort because the battery stopped recharging and wondered why you couldn't replace the battery? Our guest wondered that too, and he looked into it. You could join in at 800-642-1234. That's 800-642-1234, or post on the Ideas Network Facebook page. Back to your calls now. Gary is with us in Wisconsin Rapids. Gary, hi.
Hi. Hi. Years ago, I had some chargers for batteries for like electric drills and things like that, DeWalt, and I forgot, there's a couple others. Anyway, I took it to a little repair shop in Marshfield, and the owner of the shop said, there's a special screwdriver. It looked like a Phillips head, but it has a little, not a wire, but a little, I can't figure it out.
The gist is you could, if you cheated a little bit, you could make a repair, Gary?
Right, right. You could unscrew the screws that held the charger together. And I did that. And when we got inside of the battery, there's a little tiny fuse, a little round fuse. It's got metal on each end and glass.
I gotcha, Gary. Gary, thanks a lot for calling in. So, Jeffrey, it's frustrating. Like, even when there is a solution, you kind of have to cheat and figure out workarounds to fix something like Gary's drills.
But you know what? I love the spirit of what Gary has to say here, because honestly, is there anything more American than being able to open up and tinker with the stuff that you own, right? I mean, like, people do this with their cars. We used to do it with our radios and our televisions and all kinds of stuff. But part of what the electronics industry has done over the last, again, you know, 10 to 20 years is make it seem almost forbidden to open up our stuff and make repairs on our own, or even take it to a local shop to have it repaired. And again, this is an intentional strategy on their part, because they either want to control the repair themselves so that you pay them more money, or they just want to keep you from repairing it so they go get you to buy something new. And I think that is bad for consumers and it is bad for the environment.
Thanks for that call, Gary. I want to ask Jeffrey, before we go back to our callers, I asked for sort of a worst of the worst. Are there companies, you mentioned GoPro is one, are there other companies or products where you thought, yeah, this is how it should be?
Yeah, you know, some of the big names have gotten a little bit better. So let's take the iPhone, for example, from Apple. So as I said earlier, Apple did a real number on us with the AirPods. But with the iPhone, it has learned the lesson. And now if you have a battery in an iPhone that is no longer very good, you can take it to Apple. You can take it to a store, you can mail it to them, and for $69, they will replace the battery in it. And that could give your iPhone another 3 years of life. And I think that is really good. And that should be, you know, basically every company ought to have some kind of service option or plan like that. But unfortunately, they don't.
Let's go back to our callers now. Jack is with us in Spring Grove. Jack, hi.
Hi, how are you doing? You know, I work from home now, especially during the pandemic, and I keep my my so-called mission critical laptop in a metal case when I'm not using it because we have cats that get into things. When I'm listening to you guys online or whatever, I use an older laptop that is just kind of wasted one. And I had this this Acer Cloudbook. It was a very thin, very light thing with a very big screen. It was originally designed mostly for schools to use, and I took off the Windows operating system because it wouldn't work anymore. It was too underpowered, and stuck on a Linux operating system, and it worked just fine. It used to have a battery capacity that would go 10 hours because it had a big, long battery someplace underneath the keyboard. And eventually, of course, it began slowing down, and now it doesn't hold the charge at all. And it is literally impossible to, number one, open the thing up without ruining the case, and number two, if you were to get it open and didn't mind duct taping it back together or something, you can't find a battery for it. It's a battery that is as wide as the laptop is and very, very thin. And it's a shame because this thing ended up in a landfill. And that's my one beef. And I could talk about how expensive digital cameras are lower resolution, and they're only worth $20 now when they were 1,200 10 years ago. But that's a whole other topic.
Jack, thanks a lot for the call. Jack worried, and you are too, Jeffrey, about, you know, these things ending up in landfills. A lot more waste than we, strictly speaking, we need to have.
Yeah, such a really good point. Jack, if you haven't yet, check out a repair community online called iFixit. That's where people with gadgets who are, into the idea of opening them up post advice for each other and instructions. They even sell some replacement parts, so there may be a chance that they have some instructions or even that battery that you need there. Another thing that is just on the verge of happening in the U.S. that is good news for people like you and me is that in the state of New York, the legislature just passed a law that would give us the right to repair our devices. And what that means is that companies would have to begin publishing instructions for how to open that laptop up and get the battery out, and also sell replacement parts. So maybe you could get that battery. So things are moving in the right direction on that front.
Jack, thanks a lot for that call. We're looking at the life and death of a lot of our electronic gadgets. Jeffrey Fowler is with us from the Washington Post. Back to your calls now. Bob is with us in Prairie du Chien. Bob, hi.
Hey, I got two, actually. Cell phones are one of them. It's like every 3 years, it's like the batteries start running out, the memories start running out, and it's like time to replace. And also hearing aids. It's unreal. A friend of mine has a daughter that has hearing aids. She's all the way through school, and it's like every 2-3 years, they have to replace them, and it's very expensive.
Bob, thanks for the call. Now, I know they're going over-the-counter hearing aids now. That could be a big change. But, Jeffrey, that's a key product for a lot of people, a hearing aid. I don't know. They are expensive right now to replace.
Yeah, I'm surprised to hear that a medical device didn't have a replaceable battery. I know, with other ear devices like those AirPods, there's been the argument that they needed to seal it in there to make it fit in a small space. However, there is another good counterexample to that. Samsung makes some totally wireless earbuds that compete with the Apple's AirPods, and the Samsung ones you can pop open and get the battery out. So it is possible to do even in very small spaces. And, in Europe, they're actually considering now laws that would require the makers, the companies making this stuff, to make the batteries accessible and removable. So, if these companies won't do it on their own, at least the Europeans might force them to.
Thanks for that call. Bill joins us now in Madison. Bill, hi.
Hi. A great one, coming from a family where you always try to fix stuff first. My brother Jim owns a house on the west side and has a Sears garage door opener put in when the house was built in '64. And the remote control wasn't working. So he took it apart and was just sitting at the kitchen table with a screwdriver. It was solid state, trying to move a couple wires. And then all of a sudden, boom, the garage door's working. And he just put it back together, and ever since then. And then same thing with the motor in there. It was something just tinkering around up in there. and he's got it all. It's been fine. And so it's the same entire, it's the same opener, same remote control since 64.
Wow. And knocking on the door of 60 years old there, Bill. Is there something to, they don't make it like they used to, Jeffrey, in the way they design these things?
I think so. Nothing makes me happier than hearing stories like this. I mean, how awesome does it feel when you're able to fix something on your own? You know, do it with some kids. Do it, you know, like everybody should, we should change our relationship with these products in our lives. We've allowed companies to make us think that the only thing we can do is spend more money with them. And, you know, that's really not good for us or for ultimately for the economy or for the environment. I know we haven't talked too much about that yet, but like if the alternative is throwing this away, sticking it in a landfill, you know, every time we buy something new, we are making another huge hit on our climate crisis, right? Every new laptop puts a couple hundred more pounds of carbon into the air. And, you know, that is just not sustainable for our planet, even if these companies want it for their quarterly earnings.
Jeffrey, we'll leave it there. Thanks again for joining us today.
You bet.
That's Jeffrey Fowler, technology columnist for The Washington Post. He was with us today to talk about his look at the hidden death dates in the electronics we use every day and what it would take for companies to make their products last longer. You could follow his reporting, see which devices are designed to die or designed to be repaired. Follow his reporting at The Washington Post. And if you still have a story to share with us, you can do that over on the Ideas Network Facebook page or email ideas@WPR.org.